expect in the future, said John Mitchell, partner, bankruptcy and reorganization with the law firm Ackerman LLP in Dallas. Mitchell participated in an online webinar organized by Grant Schwartzwelder, president and owner of OTA Compression LLC, OTA Environmental, and Kymark last week, to discuss bankruptcies and how it can affect companies, their customers, or vendors. Mitchell said in a phone interview afterward that he expects an acceleration in bankruptcy filings over the next 3 to 5 months. Companies seeking to stay in business first draw on their credit lines, spend from cash, or seek forbearance loans from creditors first, he said. Quote, it takes time to dry up a credit line, spend cash, or for creditors' patience to run out, he said. Also complicating matters is the coronavirus pandemic, which is keeping companies from devising reorganization plans until they know what the future will be like, discouraging investors from investing in those restructuring plans. COVID-19 was just one of three crises hitting the energy industry, Mitchell said. Before the pandemic, the oil price downturn of 2014 to 2016 prompted companies to take on a lot of debt to survive or make acquisitions, resulting in a number of heavily leveraged companies. Much of that debt is coming due this year and next year, he said. Then, just as the pandemic was taking hold, Saudi Arabia and Russia embarked on a price war as they battled for market share, he said. As companies deleverage and go through the process of reworking contracts, reworking trade relationships, and deleveraging bond debt, Mitchell said many will emerge leaner and with less debt. The possibility of bankruptcy is a concern for energy companies, whether exploration and production company worried about the solvency of a service provider or a service provider worried about the financial health of an E&P company. Quote, a lot of clients have reached out to me, Mitchell told Schwartzwelder. We've taken a holistic approach to looking at their customer list from A to Z and evaluated the credit risk of each one. That's a smart move. Analyze what you can do to shore up credit assurance, look at credit assurance, and ask what assurances you can ask for, whether it's contractually or if it's not in the contract, ask anyway. End quote. For companies that aren't big enough to get credit assurance, like letters of credit or bonds, Mitchell suggests that they educate themselves on what lien rights they have under their contracts. Quote, there's transportation liens for common carriers like truckers or pipelines, warehouse liens, mechanics liens, he said. If there are steps you need to take to perfect that lien, file the paperwork with the county or state. Most oil and gas-producing states grant mineral lien rights to contractors working on production. If you need legal counsel, please get it. You can make mistakes that could prejudice your ability to file a lien or have a say in any bankruptcy reorganization. End quote. He recommended contacting the customer before filing a lien to try to preserve the working relationship. Quote, I realize it may cause them headaches as they deal with their lenders, but you have to look after yourself, he said. Under Chapter 11 reorganization, Mitchell said, quote, often the squeaking wheel gets the grease. When a supplier or vendor goes into Chapter 11, be vocal. Don't violate federal injunctions. Creditors can't make demands outside the board or council or sue. Call the debtor's attorney. Call your contact at the company about when you're going to get paid. Pester them. Creditors that are more vocal get paid earlier in the process. Be vocal with the company, not the lender. End quote. The company may need to evaluate how critical it is to that bankrupt customer and how critical it would be for the bankrupt customer to have to replace it. If replacing the company would be disruptive to the bankruptcy process, the bankruptcy judge may allow the trustee overseeing the process to pay the debt in full. Also, agree or volunteer to serve on a creditor's committee in order to gain a front seat and have a say in the restructuring. If a vendor goes bankrupt, an E&P company may need to start requiring cash in advance or cash on delivery, or even looking at alternative sources of those products or services. If a company has been paid by a customer who goes bankrupt, there is the risk of that payment being clawed back. Mitchell said if that's the case, negotiate with the bankruptcy trustee. Quote, if you get a demand letter in the mail for $100,000, settle for $75,000. That's $25,000 you get to keep. You might get that even lower, and now you have $35,000 or $50,000 in your pocket. Take the payment and fight about giving it back later. You can always park the money if there's a risk of having to give it back. End quote. Electrophases could help limit well communication in future. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Permian Basin oil producers have followed technological advances and economic environments to adjust how they drill and complete wells. As unconventional shale development took off, operators looked to cube development, drilling multiple wells in multiple benches from one well pad. But that has given rise to the difficult-to-solve problem of communication between the original or parent well and subsequent child wells, which could damage the producing formations and limit production. One company, RS Energy Group, a part of Enverus, has turned to electrophases to study the subsurface and identify potential cross-bound communication between wells. Electrophases are the distinctive formation clusters created by algorithms that utilize petrophysical log responses. Quote, we began this concept when cube development was taking off, Bryn Davies, Senior Associate Intelligence with RS Energy, said in a phone interview. She said her company uses a triple log suite to develop algorithms that identify relations in the log responses and, quote, that's what we use to tie to other data to identify where the clusters are. The priority is to both identify top acreage and top benches, Davies said. In today's economic environment, producers who are drilling wells could be turning to unbound vertical drilling rather than cube development. Quote, if you have a single bench being developed at the lowest break-even, that leaves a lot of child wells in the future, Davies said. We can identify what child degradation will be as the industry returns to activity. End quote. As crude prices rise and activity returns, she sees producers returning to cube development, especially in the Delaware Basin, where there are fewer barriers, especially in the upper Wolf Camp. Quote, that's where we can recommend companies complete wells to avoid future child degradation, she said. Quote, one of the cool things about electrophases and clusters is the repeatability of it, Davies said. It's a quick tool we can reiterate and incorporate over various models. We use it over both a basin and acreage scale. We're looking at more than a basin scale. We want to use it for more than identifying carbonates. Texas Alliance of Energy Producers names new president. The story was written by Mella McEwen. A veteran of the regulatory and legislative process has been tapped to serve as president of the Texas Alliance of Energy Producers, the association announced Wednesday. Jason Modglin joins the alliance after serving as Director of Public Affairs for Railroad Commissioner Christy Craddock. He also served as Chief of Staff for State Representative Drew Darby, Chair of the House Energy Resources Committee, and was a policy analyst for the then Texas Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples. The Houston native said in a phone interview that he had recently visited Midland and found its spirit was down amid the coronavirus pandemic and the steep downturn in the oil industry, but companies were preparing and making investments for the future. As president, he said he wants to continue the work he has done with the alliance through his time with the Railroad Commission and at the Texas Legislature. Quote, "I want to be an advocate for smart energy policies," he said. "I want to continue to be a leader on smart energy and environmental policies. I plan to be a great resource for regulators at the Railroad Commission and Texas Commission on Environmental Quality," end quote. During his time at the Railroad Commission, he said the agency implemented statutes to keep the state's leadership role in energy, but was challenged to keep up with the industry's continuous innovations and improvements. Quote, "We've seen improvements in produced water handling, emissions, and field efficiency," Modglin said. "We will support regulators at the Texas Railroad Commission and TCEQ. We will advocate for more inspectors that will help them be more efficient and timely in their responses. We will advocate for there to be more information technology resources," end quote. He also plans for the alliance to continue to issue its Texas Petro Index, prepared by Carr Ingham, a petroleum economist and the alliance's executive vice president. "The most important statistic," Modglin said, is, quote, "the 400,000 Texans and families employed by the oil and gas industry and surrounding industries that produce energy for the world," end quote. The association, which is celebrating its 90th anniversary, recently elected Cy Wagner as chair of the board of directors. New software solution details oil company spending. The story was written by Miller McEwen. With 50,000 suppliers providing goods and services, it's easy for their customers to wonder what exactly they're spending their money on. Quote, "Everyone is trying to understand costs, their own costs," said Chris Dinkler, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Enverus Business Automation, in a phone interview. In digging into the issue, he said, quote, "We found in each case everyone has problems understanding what they're spending for similar parts with different vendors in different categories," end quote. Categories such as pipe, valves, fittings, casing, cement, chemicals, and even labor can be confusing, he said. Quote, "For example, a 2.5-inch valve for a particular use. Each supplier creates a unique description and attribute, and there's no way to know what you're spending on particular items," he said. The company, formerly known as Drilling Info, has a deep history in analytics. So, in early May, the company launched Open Insights, a software analytics solution that gives energy supply chain teams detailed understanding of what their spending buys. With more than 50,000 active oil and gas suppliers submitting invoices and field tickets into the company's network, and more than $190 billion in industry spending on data, quote, "We were in a unique position to crack the code on category-specific supply chain data," Dinkler said. "By analyzing millions of lines of complex, unstructured data and normalizing it through descriptive attributes, this solution allows companies to quickly analyze their own spend data at a granular level to identify where each dollar is being spent, how it is being spent, and if their supply chain is truly optimized without any tedious onboarding process or IT resources required, end quote. In other words, quote, we standardize the attributes, he said. Reports are generated by category, by attribute, and by supplier. Dinkler said clients utilizing Open Insights see reports related only to their specific invoice information. Quote, a lot of times they had no idea what they were spending for the same part from several vendors, he said. This had immediate value, end quote. In today's energy economy environment, he said, quote, more than ever, what companies need is to be smarter, to be more informed about their spending, end quote. By unlocking such savings, he said, companies may be able to avoid laying off staff. While supply chains have historically attempted to do such analysis, Dinkler said it has been done manually, and what Open Insights does is put the analysis in front of the company in dashboard form. Such new software platforms come as automation becomes a key part of supply chains, he said. In addition to Open Insights, Enverus recently launched Audit Intelligence, which helps companies identify incorrect or fraudulent billing. Coming up next will be a software platform to optimize payments, Dinkler said. Quote, we're now looking for ways to deliver similar analysis to the more than 50,000 suppliers, he said. Let them understand their buyer base even better. We want to drive value for suppliers, not just buyers, end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, June 7th, 2020. Markets Make New Highs, Forget All Theories, by Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. A couple of columns back, I quoted Wall Street Week elf Dr. Marty Zweig saying, don't fight the Fed. That can surely be the only explanation for what is going on here. The Fed is buying billions of dollars of all kinds of bonds from Treasury to junk, and that money is being recycled back into stocks. Never mind that quarantine stocks like Carvana are not making money, or that FANG stocks are trading at nosebleed multiples. One new acronym for this is TRINA. There is no alternative. TRINA. Translated, that means no matter how overvalued they may be, stocks are the only asset class for investing. Another is FOMO, fear of missing out. To answer that siren call, Schwab is offering slices of FANG stocks as well as the E-mini futures contract for as little as $5 each. This is advertised as a, quote, great way to begin investing, end quote. Years ago, such trades were known as odd lots, when less than 10 shares, a round lot, were traded. Usually these small traders were wrong. We will see if that is the case again. Specifically, the intra-month trends have turned up on the Dow Industrials and SPX. This morning, the DJIA and SPX blew through 26,337 and 3,118. I can cite numerous technical and fundamental models, but all are being tossed out the window. All hail the Fed. This is an election year. Notice how Trump has ceased his criticism of the Fed, which was, according to Trump, the one barrier to economic success. The Fed will continue pouring money into the markets until it is certain the job is done. After 2009, this was called quantitative easing. and each time the Fed ceased, it had to come back into the market with more money to boost stocks. It lowered interest rates to zero to boost real estate. The same formulas are at work now. Crude oil and stock prices have moved in tandem, and despite the claims of oversupply, the price of oil has soared along with the stocks. Crude oil is up $1.69 to $39.07 as of this writing. There is a plethora of futures, options, and off-exchange derivatives in the energy complex. Do not discount the possibility that all sorts of machinations are present in these complex derivative markets to boost the price of oil, no matter what supply and demand are doing. So, despite watching our cities burn down on the evening news reports, the stock and oil markets follow their own course. Markets are soaring despite the negative mood on television and businesses lost to mob violence. This is a dangerous combination in defiance of social mood theory. Be careful out there. The short-term outlook for the Texas economy by The Economist, M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. Measures taken to slow the spread of COVID-19, while necessary, have had substantial negative effects on the Texas economy. In addition to shutting down large segments of the economy, the pandemic has also contributed to a downturn in oil and natural gas. However, the state is well positioned to return to growth once social distancing requirements can be more fully relaxed. The Perryman Group's latest outlook calls for a significant drop in business activity this year, but a return to growth next year and even later this year. For 2020, the Perryman Group estimates that the Texas economy will experience significant losses due to both COVID-19 and disruptions in the oil market, which accounts for about 14% of the state economy during normal times. Real gross product is expected to decline by $133.8 billion relative to 2019 levels, a 7.6% loss. While total employment on an annualized basis is likely to drop by almost 861,000, down 6.48%. Job losses are expected to be concentrated in the spring and summer months, with some improvement later in the year. So reported losses at some points in time will be even higher. More than 2 million Texans have filed initial claims for unemployment since the pandemic began. While the unemployment rate has jumped sharply and millions of Texans are out of work, many jobs will return as social distancing requirements are relaxed. The industries likely to see the largest drops in the numbers of jobs include accommodation and food services, retail trade, manufacturing, and mining, primarily oil and natural gas in Texas. In addition, expected economic growth for 2020 has been foregone. When compared to baseline projections before the pandemic, real gross product losses for the year reached $206.3 billion, with more than 1.1 million fewer annualized jobs in Texas relative to the pre-COVID-19 expectations. For 2021, a notable improvement is projected. Gains in real gross product are forecast to be $154.4 billion, a 9.5% increase, while the number of jobs rises by almost 685,000, up 5.51%. It is expected to take 2 to 5 years to return to the level of business activity the state would otherwise have experienced in the absence of COVID-19 and the related measures to prevent a spike in infections. The state economy is declining steeply at present, but is expected to begin to expand later this year, although, as noted, the year-over-year numbers will likely be down considerably. Because the underlying economy was strong prior to this situation, and Texas will retain many of its competitive advantages going forward, it is likely to be more of a pause than a fundamental change, assuming safe and effective measures to resume activity are successful with no additional outbreaks and shutdowns. Be safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 68 and partly cloudy. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 60s. Then, tomorrow, sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, June 7th, 2020. Life and Times. Getting back to nature. Sibley Nature Center plans to reopen facilities. By Michael Bauer, M-B-A-U-E-R at OAOA.com. Midland. After being forced to shut down due to COVID-19 back in April, Sibley Nature Center officials are hopeful about being able to open in the coming weeks. But parts of the Nature Center have remained open to the public, including the trail. The mile-long trail, which is open from sunrise to sunset every day, has seen plenty of use from the public even during the pandemic, Executive Director Paul Acosta said. People can come out and enjoy that. People are welcome to come out and bring their dogs if they're on a leash. You also have people who are walking, jogging, and enjoying the outdoors while we're in these challenging times. But the Nature Center's main facility is still closed at the moment. Acosta said they are looking at June 15th as a reopening date. We're hoping to get opened back as things start easing up, Acosta said. Of course, we'll promote and encourage social distancing when people come into our building, but we'd love to have people back by the third week in June. They can come in and enjoy our exhibits. The Sibley Nature Center celebrates the nature and history of the region through a broad range of educational programs at its site of 49 acres in Hogan Park. Usually, at this time of the year, the Nature Center is putting together various summer camps. Many of those camps included the Nature Center's Wild About Science camps, Arthropod Adventures for students entering 4th through 6th grades, as well as the Growing from Nature day camps for kindergarten through 3rd graders. We had an adult fun camp during the summertime, and then we had a summer camp for kids to come out to, and it revolved around not just the estacado, but the study of insects, and it's been good to get kids outdoors and to learn about science and how the Llano estacado is a living, breathing organism and what we can do to protect it and keep it going for future generations, Acosta said. But this year, with the coronavirus, the summer plans have been altered. We usually do summer camps, Acosta said, but right now it's something that, after discussing with the board, our summer events are canceled or postponed. Acosta said they are looking at postponing some camps to the weeks of Thanksgiving and Christmas breaks. Not everyone has that entire week off during Thanksgiving and Christmas, but we're hoping the parents can still bring kids to those camps at that time, Acosta said. But as the center tries to open back up, Acosta says they will be doing a lot of cleaning around the facilities to make sure they are safe for the public. Our plan is the first 2 weeks in June, we'll open back up to staff and get the overall building a good deep clean and just go by the precautions that the county and state are saying, Acosta said. We want to protect everyone's health and the staff and visitors as well. Follow Michael Bauer on Twitter at OAMICHAELBA. More information, Sibley Nature Center, SibleyNatureCenter.org. That's SibleyNatureCenter.org. Phone 432-684-6827. Trail hours, sunrise to sunset. Location, 1307 East Wadley Avenue, Midland, 79705. Start early to prevent osteoporosis. Levi Stone, RN, MSN, Chief Nursing Officer. Similar to how framing and beams offer support to homes and buildings, our skeletal system does the same to maintain support and structure for our bodies. And just like a building's structure, continuous upkeep is necessary to ensure bones remain the body's pillar of strength we rely on daily. Bones also provide protection against otherwise vulnerable internal organs, leverage for movement, storage of vital minerals, and production of red blood cells. Since bone is living tissue,